This morning, we're going to look at a text with some comments at the cross. So please turn with me to Matthew 27, and I'll begin reading at verse 19. Matthew 27, 19. And the context is that he has already been arrested. He has had a trial before the high priest, and now he's before Pilate. And this is what's going on. Matthew 27, 19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, that is Pilate, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now, it was a custom in those days at Passover for the governor to release a prisoner. That's why they're saying, who should he release? 21, the governor answered and said to them, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." And Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" They cried out all the more, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a riot was arising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had whipped Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spit on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. Then they mocked him. They took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled him to bear his cross. When they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him, divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be spoken which was spoken by the prophet. "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one at the left and another, one at the right, another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Also the chief priests, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And even the robbers who were crucified with him ridiculed him, with the same thing. And then you have the actual earthquake and the death. I thought it would be good for us this morning to consider these comments. Think of the people walking by, making fun, teasing, criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of those soldiers. What would it be like to actually spit in the face of the Lord? Or to mock him, put on a purple robe in mockery of his kingship? What would that be like to do that? And I could say, I'd never do that. But I have, just in different ways. I have denied him. I have offended him. Not just like those soldiers, but in different ways. And here is the Lord. Well, let's pick it up at verse 42. These people said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. The message this morning is the truth about the cross. Now, here is something they said that's true. They didn't realize it. They said it in ridicule, saying, he saved others. That is true. He did save others from lots of physical torment. Just think of the healing of the bodies, the healing of people who were blind, the people who couldn't walk, who were paralyzed, all kinds of physical ailments, all kinds of people with problems of all kinds. And he saved them from that. He saved them from their sin. And of course, through the years, he has saved us from spiritual death. But here's the truth. He did save. He is the Savior. And that's what he came to do, to be the Savior. So what they said here is true. He did save others. Now then, the next statement from them in verse 42 is, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Now that is not true. Himself he could save. Jesus Christ could have saved himself. And this just reminds us that his death is voluntary. He volunteered to go to that cross and let them ridicule him, let them mock him, let them kick him and beat him. He volunteered for all that. In John, we read this about his death. Listen to this. My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it. He is the one here who is in charge. He is in control. Not the soldiers, not Pilate, not the Romans, not the Jews. He is in control. He gave his life. They did not kill him. The spear did not kill him. The beating did not kill him. The thirst from the cross did not kill him. He did this. Look at verse number 50. In Matthew 27:50, we read how he died. Jesus, when he had cried out with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. He determined when he would die and how he would die. He did it voluntarily. And in other places it says that he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." His death was absolutely voluntary. And I want to read a passage to you. In fact, it would be good if you would turn to it. It's in Matthew 26, across the page, beginning with verse 47. Matthew 26, 47. Here's another record of his voluntarism. Verse 47 of Matthew 26, "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Then immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came, laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish the sword by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?'" He could have saved himself there. And then a song has been written, "He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me." What they said is not true. He could have saved himself. In the garden, at the trials, he did not defend himself. And when he's on the cross, he gave up his spirit. They said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Now, he could have come down from the cross. What they're saying is not true. He could, because he is the Son of God. And they also questioned God's acceptance of him. He trusted in God, let God deliver him now. But you know, there's an interesting thing they're saying here. "Let him come down from the cross and we will believe him." That is not true. Jesus spoke to them on one occasion and said, "Even if one comes back from the dead, you will not believe." Why will people not believe? It isn't because of logistics or history or the actual events. Nothing is more greatly substantiated than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But people will not believe in him. Why? Because they are spiritually dead. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot love God, and they cannot believe unless the Holy Spirit comes to them and gives them life, raises them from spiritual death, and then they believe. You and I are here this morning as believers, but it isn't because we are smarter than these scribes and Pharisees and the people who refuse. It isn't because we have a better moral being than anyone else. It is simply because God, by His grace in election, has sent the Holy Spirit to us and revived our dead hearts toward Him, made us alive, and now we believe. They would not believe if He had come down from the cross, but He could have. So I think these comments at the cross teach us a great deal about the truth of the cross. They said, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And this is their saying. Now, another thing about this, said He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Now the fact is, and the truth is, that Jesus would not save Himself. He could have saved Himself. He would not save Himself. And you know why He didn't come down from the cross? It was His love for His elect that kept Him nailed to the cross. That hits home to our hearts this morning. My sin put Him there, and your sin put Him there. But His love for us kept Him there. He could have come down. He would not come down because He must die. He must die. That is His mission. He was born here as a human to die for the sin of God's elect. And He is going to fulfill His mission. And thank the Lord, He did. He must die. He must suffer the wrath of God on that cross in order to save you and me from the wrath of God for all eternity. No believer ever faces condemnation or the wrath of God because it's already been poured out on our Savior. That's what our salvation is all about. That is what is happening here on the cross. He must die. And He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Many comments at the cross, and here's at least one or two of them. One of them was true. He saved others. Himself He cannot save. That's not true. Come down from the cross, but He won't, for His love for you and me. And so we have another hymn. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What is left for us this morning? Our response. When a believer is confronted with the truth of this message, of the events of the cross, there has to be the response of humble worship and poor contempt on all our pride, to know and understand we had nothing to do with our salvation. Well, that's not quite true. We contributed one thing. That is the sin that made it necessary. He gets the credit and the glory and the thanks and the appreciation. And if that's coming from our hearts, that's where we need to be during these days and weeks to appropriately celebrate Easter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for recording for us these events at the cross. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of the meaning of the cross and the truth about it. Thank you that you have revealed these things to us by giving us ears to hear and a heart to believe. Most gladly this morning do we express our belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, and most gladly do we say, He is our Savior, and we have no other. We worship no other. He and He alone has my allegiance and my loyalty. Him will I serve forever. In His name we pray. Amen.